Well, we're going to continue our study on God's will and knowing God's will, doing God's will. Today we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 3 about decisions and God's will. You don't need to raise your hand, but is anybody sitting right here this morning struggling with a pretty major decision in your life? If you are, I hope you'll be helped today as we listen to how God desires to lead us and guide us through life. Now we're going to look at a very familiar passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, because I want this to kind of be the groundwork, the foundation of what we share today about decision making and God's will. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he had asked God to give him wisdom, and God abundantly supplied that. And so we have this wonderful 31 chapter book in the Bible called the Book of Proverbs, or the Book of Sayings. And Solomon, after years of living his own life the way he wanted to live it, and making his own decisions with very little consultation with God, I think finally realized that even though he was the wisest man on the earth at that time, he wasn't wise enough. He needed the wisdom of God. So he gives us some great guidelines here, beginning with verse 5. He writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." I'm going to read 7 and 8. They go right with it. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." I used a Yogi Berra quote in the early service, and I think they were still asleep and didn't get it. So I'm going to see if you get it, because it kind of ties into decision making. Yogi Berra once said, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." You got it. Yeah, good, good. Well, sometimes it's that way with making decisions. We come to that moment when we have to decide, do I do this or do I do that? Do I go this way or do I go that way? And we really struggle because we want to do God's will and know God's will, but sometimes it just doesn't seem to come as clearly as we would like. You know, I found it very interesting that there are really no Bible passages that speak directly to making personal life decisions. In fact, you can kind of go down a list and you think, okay, what does the Bible say about who do I marry? The only thing the Bible says there is, do not be unequally yoked. Doesn't tell you if they're blonde or brunette or short or tall or whatever. What about a job? No specific guidelines for taking a job. No Bible passage that you can look at and say, that one says, take this job. No particular passage about what house to buy, other than be wise and don't get in over your head. And so on. You can go down through the Bible and try to find, okay, Lord, I need a decision about buying this house or buying that car or moving to this place or doing this. And you don't really find a specific Bible verse for that. Now, what you do find in the Bible, and it often speaks of God's sovereign will or the sovereignty of God, or it will just say God's will is this. Now, when it talks about the sovereign will of God, that's sort of the overriding, overarching will of God. For instance, it's God's will that none should perish. Now that's God's overarching will. He doesn't want anyone to die without Christ in his life. That's God's will for everyone. But as we know, not everyone accepts Christ. And there are guidelines that are a little more specific about our behavior and the way we live our lives. One of God's will says this, that you are to not engage in sexual immorality. That's God's will for every follower of Christ. And so you kind of have this big picture, and you begin to pick up as you read the Bible, as you walk with God, you begin to realize there are boundaries, guidelines that God has given to us about making decisions. But to me, the starting point for making a decision begins with recognizing God is present in your life. I think that's what Solomon was pointing us to. Realize that God is present in your life. Also understand that God cares about you, and he cares about your life. But he also knows and understands who we are. He knows our strengths, our weaknesses. He knows who we are. So when you come to a passage like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you realize that the real starting point for making a decision, especially an important one, is to bring God immediately into that decision-making process. So here's what I think Solomon is saying. First of all, he is saying, turn your heart toward God. First step in making that decision that you have to make, turn your heart toward God. And then he kind of lays it out like this. First of all, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, our independent nature almost always gets in the way when it comes to decision making, because for the most part, we sort of assume that we can handle the issues and the decisions of life on our own. But like Solomon, I think as we mature, we realize that not only does life become more complicated, but the decisions we have to make are a little more complicated. And that's when we begin to realize that we need to trust God, someone wiser and greater than we are. The word trust is an interesting word. I looked it up in a couple of places. Very same word that Solomon used is found back in Psalm 22, verse 9. I want you to listen to this verse. But you, that is God, are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. Now, it's describing a baby that is resting peacefully in his mother's arms. And I think what Solomon is saying to us is that when he says trust in God, he is saying trust in God completely, with all of your heart, without doubt, without reservation. You believe and trust that God is completely trustworthy. In fact, Proverbs 16, verse 20 says, happy is he who trusts in the Lord. And so that's the beginning point of learning how to make decisions. You begin by trusting God to help you. And then he says, lean not into your own understanding. Look at that verse again. First, you trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And then he says, you lean not on your own understanding. You see, when you begin to really trust God with your life, and you put your confidence in Him rather than yourself, what that really reveals is the difference between arrogance and humility. Because what you are saying to God is, I respect your wisdom. I respect your guidance. I understand that your wisdom is much greater than mine. Your ways are much different than mine. And you can show me right from wrong. I trust you and I lean upon you. Now, a lot of people would say that Christianity is simply a crutch. Let me tell you, if it's a crutch, I need it. Because it is telling me that I need God. And I need God in every area of my life. And I need God especially when it comes to making some very difficult decisions in life. I love this passage out of 2 Chronicles 20. You see, God sees the big picture, far beyond what we understand. And He knows what's going to be down the road. I love this story about King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. They are about to be overwhelmed by two different armies that are seeking to destroy King Jehoshaphat and his people. And he sort of panics for a few moments and he begins to struggle. And he finally goes to God and he calls the people to prayer and he says, we need to see what God tells us to do here. And so they begin to pray and they begin to cry out to God, God, what do? We don't have the manpower. All we have is you. And you come down to verse 12 of that 20th chapter, and Jehoshaphat finally comes to this place where he says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. You know, sometimes that's the best place to find yourself. You don't know whether to do this or do that, and you turn to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm leaning on you. I'm putting the full weight of my life and this decision into your hands. And then you trust Him. But then he goes on and says that we are to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Now, I think if you're like me, you would have to admit that there are times when some of the most foolish decisions we've made have been when we have not consulted or acknowledged the Lord. We just took off and did it. Didn't ask, didn't wait, maybe didn't want to hear what the Lord had to say. We just did what we wanted to do without any thought of what God might say in that matter. And so when he says acknowledge God, what he's really talking about is in every part of your life, there is this acknowledgement that God is a part of everything I am and everything I do. And so it's just basically wrapping your arms around this thought that God in this decision is with me. And I'm going to acknowledge God. I'm going to trust God. You know, there's an interesting illustration that C.S. Lewis used that I thought was so appropriate for right here. He asked the question, when is a train free to run? When it is on the tracks or off the tracks? Now, obviously, it's when it's on the tracks. Then he goes on and says this, we were designed to run on God's tracks. The path, His path, is the track that liberates us. And that's why when we veer off the track, when we get out of God's will, life becomes so laborious, so difficult, and so painful. Isn't that good? And that's the way God wants us to live our lives. That's exactly, I think, what Solomon was talking about here. If you will get your life on God's tracks, so to speak, and you are trusting Him, you are leaning on Him, you are acknowledging Him, then He says He's going to direct your paths. Now that brings me to the second thing, and that is in making a decision, you need to take time to decide. When He said that He will direct your paths, when I read that a few times, what I understood that to mean is there is a period of time, usually, when we have asked God to lead us, to help us make a decision, where we have to wait until God begins to reveal what direction He wants us to go. Now, it is true that some decisions can be made without much thought. Do I want vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream? You know, it's preference. I kind of like both, but anyway. But then there are other decisions that are much bigger and have much greater consequences. Because these are the decisions that affect not only us, but they affect our family. And they affect others around us. Now, these are the decisions where we need to take the time. We need to begin waiting and speaking and listening to the Lord for Him to direct our steps, which leads to how do you do that? I think there are some steps that we can take that gives the Lord the time and the opportunity to help us make better decisions. Let me give you four of them. The first one is this, and this may be perhaps the most important, but it's eliminate options that directly violate Scripture. In other words, you just take that one off the board. Don't even consider it. If it's going to be a violation of the Word of God or something that God has declared in His Word by way of principle or by way of prohibition, you know that's not part of God's will for your life. Because when you decide that you are not going to violate a principle or a prohibition of God, you are saying to God, I don't want to do anything that's going to cripple this decision-making process. And you also don't want to do anything that's going to tarnish your testimony as a Christian by knowingly violating God's word. So that's the first thing. Eliminate any option that violates Scripture. Here's the second one. As you make a decision, you begin to ask God for wisdom. Remember James' word, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, asking God for wisdom, if you look in the context that James wrote those words, you find that it's in the context of a relationship with God that is established, that is meaningful, and you are accustomed to turning to God about different matters. Now, here's what I think a lot of us do. The only time we really ask God for wisdom is when we're in a crisis. And we say to God, I need an answer in an hour. I need it right now. You need to tell me what to do. And that's the first time that we've considered God's will in a long time. But we're panicking and we're crying out and we're saying, God, I need to know what you need me to do right now, this minute. But the way I think God works is when we are in a relationship with Him that is ongoing, that is meaningful, that has measurable depth to it, when we have those decisions to make, I think God invites us to come to wait in His presence, to pray to Him, to ask for wisdom, And then he begins to give us, sometimes a little bit at a time, direction and guidance in the way that we should go. Now, a third thing that I think is helpful in making a decision is we pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us. In John chapter 14 and verses 14 through 18, Jesus is telling his disciples, he said, I'm going away, but I'm sending another. Jesus called him the helper. He said, I'm sending him because he is going to live inside of you. He's really going to be my spirit inside of you. And he's going to help you through life here on this earth. He's sort of like the navigator of your life. And if you'll really turn to him, if you'll wait on him, if you'll ask him, Holy Spirit of God, guide my steps, help me to make the right decision here. If you'll turn to the Holy Spirit, what did Jesus say? He said he will guide you into all truth. And he will guide you, I believe, toward wisdom. That's God's Spirit working in our lives as we ask him. Now here's the fourth thing. Is you seek the counsel of wise Christians that you respect. I want you to look over in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1. This is one where I think a lot of, I'm going to say men, because I think we're the guiltiest here, I kind of get into an issue. Proverbs 18:1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Now let's just stop there for a moment. You see, a lot of times when we are making a decision, we really don't want to ask somebody else's advice or opinion because we really want to do what we want to do. So we don't want to ask. We isolate ourselves. We just say, you know what? I'm going to make this decision by myself because this is what I want to do. And a lot of times our motive is not right. Look over in chapter 20 of Proverbs. And verse 18, and that verse says, plans are established by counsel. Now, here's what I think all of us should do when we have a tough decision to make. And that is go to some people, Christians, that you respect, who are truth speakers, and are known for not only their wisdom, but their walk with God. And you sit down with them and you explain the choices and the decision that you are deliberating. And then you might even ask them a question like this. Does anything come to your mind from God's word that speaks to the decision that I'm trying to make? In other words, you are inviting people that you respect and people you trust and people you know that are walking with God, and you invite them into your life and you say to them, this is my decision I'm struggling with. These are the choices that are before me. What would you say? How would you advise? Now, that's just gathering information. You see, none of us makes the perfect decision every time. We're just limited. We're like Dirty Harry, Clint Eastwood. You got to know your limitations. And so none of us make perfect decisions every time and all the time. Sometimes we make decisions that we think are right, and perhaps we have even said, God, is this what I ought to do? And sometimes we make that decision, and it's not long before everything goes south. And from a human perspective, we think this is the dumbest thing I've ever made. It's the greatest mistake I've ever made. And it's just totally wrecked and ruined everything. But here is what I think is amazing about God. If your motivation for making that decision was to honor God and you sincerely sought to make the wisest choice possible, and then it goes south and sort of blows up, here's where the grace and the sovereignty of God can make even those things that don't work eventually begin to work for your good. Isn't that what Romans 8:28 is all about? It says that God can make all things work together for good. Here's the caveat: to those that love God. Now that's got to be in the life of that person. But God can take our mistakes and He can begin to turn things, shape things, bring things around for our good. I've seen this many times in my own life where I've made some terrible mistakes, not intentionally, but just made them, and thinking that I have blown it for good, and then over time, how God has taken that and used it for good in my life. Now, here's a third thing when it comes to decision making. And I say this as somebody that needs to follow his own advice and practice it more. But here's the thing: test your decision before making it. And I think there's three tests that we need to make. The first one is the spiritual test. If I make this decision, will it honor God? If I make this decision, is it going to reflect negatively or positively on Him and on His Word? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." You know, that just sort of puts it all in perspective. From little things to big things, whatever it is this bringing glory to God? That's what we are to do with our lives. Here's the second test. I call it the relational test. Because none of us are islands unto ourselves. Our choices, our decisions, are going to affect others in some way. We have to always be cognizant of that. So we need to ask the question, if I make this decision, how is it going to affect my family? How is it going to affect my associates that you may work with? How is this going to affect the people around me? You know, that always had to come into play when God would maybe open a door for me to maybe go to another church or whatever. And sometimes I would get a call and it might be something that would be great personally for me to do. But I always had to think, what's this going to do with my kids? And sometimes they were at those critical ages where you knew if you picked up and moved and they had to basically start all over, it was not going to be good for them. And so sometimes I just had to kindly say, I'm honored that you would even consider me, but I think for the good of my family right now, maybe it's best I decline. Because your decision always has relational effects by what you do, and maybe by what you don't do. But here's the third test, and I call that the personal test. And you raise a few questions. How will this choice or decision affect me? Can I do this with the confidence that it's right? And then you have to ask yourself, what is my real motive for making this decision? That's what it always comes down to, really. What is my real motive? And sometimes it's that causes us not to want to hear from God, and sometimes it's that causes us not to want to hear from anybody else. So we have to kind of scoop deep and say, what's my real motive here? Do I want to really honor God? Is it going to hinder my walk with Christ? Is it going to hinder my ability to serve in my church and to serve the Lord? We have to ask those kinds of hard questions. And these three tests, the spiritual, the relational, the personal, I think are good questions to ask before we pull the trigger on something, especially a major decision. So here's the thing. We all know that making decisions is not always easy. Some of them are very, very difficult. Man, we struggle, we sweat, we pray, we fast, we do all kinds of things, and it's just not easy. But here's where we need to look, and that is the Lord is willing to help if we're willing to ask. And He's willing to help not only if we're willing to ask, but if we are willing to be led, to let Him direct our steps. You see, what it really comes down to, and this is what we've talked about for the last few weeks, God's will really comes down to our relationship with Him. That's what it really comes down to, is where our heart is in our relationship with Him. And is it our desire to sincerely want to fulfill His will for our lives? That's what it really comes down to. You see, that's why when we come to those moments in our lives, when we have to make those tough and hard decisions, we really need to say, God, I just want to submit my will to Your will. I want to do what You want me to do. I want to put my will out of the way, and I just want to listen, and I want You to lead me. And you see, when you can get to that point, you begin to realize that God will take a more active and proactive role in your life as He begins to lead you, and you begin to sense, this is the way God is taking my life. This is the door that God seems to be leading me through. And so when you come to those decision times in your life, remember that you don't have to make that one all by yourself. Remember that there is someone who's asking you to trust Him, to lean on Him, to acknowledge Him, so that He can direct your steps, direct your life. Well, let's bow together. Lord, I thank You today for Your word that speaks truth into our lives and reminds us that we are not alone in this world. And sometimes when we have to make a decision, it's the loneliest time that we experience. We feel absolutely alone, but we're not. You're available. You're with us. You'll guide us. You'll speak to us. And I pray this morning, there may be someone sitting right here, and you're really struggling with a major decision. I would encourage you, think back through what we've shared today. Take the time to let God speak into your life His will and His direction. And I do know this. If you give God the opportunity, and you may think he's not doing a thing, you'll find that he's been working behind the scenes, directing your steps in the way that he knows you should go. I would also encourage anyone sitting here this morning, God's will for you is that you know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've been putting that off. Maybe you thought, I can get through life on my own. Well, let me tell you, you may get through life on your own, but there's an eternity, and you're not going to get through that on your own. And if you do, that means that you have lived your life apart from God, and you'll spend your eternity apart from God. But that's not God's will. He loves you, and he wants you to know Jesus. He wants you to repent of your sin. He wants you to yield your life to him. And God will step into your life, and he'll help you, and he'll strengthen you, and he'll forgive you time and again as you learn to walk with him. And so, Lord, I know that as Christians, we struggle with decisions, and sometimes we make bad ones, but I thank you that you're sovereign, that your mercy and your grace is boundless, and that you will help us, and you'll really turn things if we'll let you for our good. So, Father, I pray in these moments that your Holy Spirit would draw people to Jesus today. Help those who need wisdom from you. In Jesus' name, amen.